You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yeah, all right, another Culkins episode, everybody.
What is good, everybody? Look at this. I mean, Alexis is...
I still got the soundboard.
The soundboard is going crazy. That thing, he's already worn out some of the buttons. He's using it so much.
They love us. They love the soundboard. That's a real crowd that just stopped immediately.
That's right. Look.
As if I hit a button.
Technology has now invented the AI audience, okay? to know when to laugh.
There it is.
There it is. Okay. Okay. At some point, Alexis is going to remember what the buttons do.
I probably won't learn them, but whatever. You guys are here for it. It's a Women's World Cup, and it's daily. That means we here talking about the Women's World Cup.
Air day. Okay.
Air day. It should have been called Women's World Cup Air Day.
Okay. But Meadowlark, they were against it. I don't know why.
You know what? They just got all these rules about people being able to read and understand. You know?
Okay.
It's stifling my creativity. You know?
Reading and understanding is for old people.
Never, bro.
Not young people like us.
Nah. So that's a wheelchair from someone who's, reading and understanding, bro.
But welcome to the Culkins Women's World Cup Daily. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros. Let's go.
We out here. Obviously, a lot of big matches to discuss. Another exciting episode. We also have an incredible guest today. We're going to be joined by Doug McIntyre of Fox Sports. He's an awesome journalist. Been everywhere. Worked at ESPN, yeah. All these other places.
You'll hear it in the interview. But he wants to be called Dougie Mac from now on. So,
you heard it here first. I mean, he said Dougie Mac Earth Day.
He said Earth Day, son.
He is in New Zealand alongside the U.S. Women's National Team covering the team, and we do a fun preview of the match against the Netherlands that's happening tomorrow, on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that's going to be dope. So be on the lookout for that combo coming up shortly.
When is someone going to get embedded with the Culkins and cover the Culkins on a daily basis?
Damn, bro. We need a reality show camera crew following us at all times.
Not really. It's just the camera waiting outside the bathroom for an hour.
Like, how long is he gonna be in there?
Damn, bro, that new guy hemorrhoids, I swear.
Is this quote unquote content? I don't know.
is he singing in there?
just a nice slow-mo shot of the doorknob jiggling, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, is he just, is he
the
coming
director's
out?
Yeah. Making the third wall.
It's like Groundhog Day when, you know.
Yeah. The production van is like, should we check?
Anyway, Doug will be with us shortly. Let's talk some Women's World Cup. We had three matches. One last night and two this morning. And Colombia versus South Korea was the first one. And
what a wild one. What an absolutely wild one. If you didn't get a chance, go. Hopefully she still has it up. Go to Melissa Ortiz's Instagram.
Okay.
Bro, no one was more excited than Melissa Ortiz, former Colombia women's national team player.
Yeah, yeah. But Melissa Ortiz, who is, her from MLS season past. She's also been on the show in the past. She's the absolute homie. But she is in Australia covering the Women's World Cup with Fox. And, I saw her. She was dancing. She was truly, truly enjoying.
She does that even when Colombia's not playing. She loves to dance online.
Yeah.
She really enjoyed it. But you know what also this means? Hold on. Let me see if I can remember. That wasn't what I was supposed to hit, but whatever. I was hoping. I think it's this one.
There'll be a lot of that.
No, hold on. Hold on. Nope.
Alexis.
There it is. I got it. Hold on. Our tactic didn't work. Our FODMAP betting challenge didn't work.
Who had...
If you don't remember, who has more photos
in
the lineup of FODMAP? Colombia had one. South Korea had three.
Yeah.
And Colombia won. We said the more photos you have, the higher the likelihood that you'll win. And we were wrong.
We were so wrong. I guess that, you know, it's not a foolproof system yet. We're still working on it.
It's not a foolproof system either. God damn it. I'll never figure this out.
Colombia were spectacular. I mean, this is, you know, we had done a big preview of what these groups might look like, and we did not expect Colombia to be this dominant against South Korea. South Korea had pretty much no opportunities. I mean,
five shots total, three on target.
Yeah, now,
and they had 43%, which isn't like an insane low number of possession. But to look over at Colombia's side is a story of dominance. 17 shots, five on target. That is incredible.
Yeah, obviously they got the penalty after a handball, but then the second goal. We have to talk about the second goal because Linda Caicedo.
Linda Caicedo of Real Madrid. She just got to move to Real Madrid.
Yeah,
she's 18, bro.
Yeah, looking sharp, looking with like the confidence of like, you know, like Alyssa Thompson on the U.S. Women's National Team. You know what I mean?
Just
technical winger. You know, fast. And that's why, I mean, she cut through about 2-3 defenders to get that opportunity. But the goalkeeper. We got to talk about the goalkeeper.
She's also a big fan of Linda Caicedo.
Because look, we got a howler on our hands, no pun intended. Because the goalkeeper, look, the shot, it possibly was going in. I could see it maybe hitting the crossbar, or you know, or maybe even bouncing in after hitting the cross. Like it was. The shot needed to be defended, but
yeah, in fact, it shouldn't count as an own goal. And the reason it didn't is because it got deflected.
No.
You know what I mean? It got deflected.
It was not an own goal.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't going.
Right.
If it was not going in the goal and it would have been directed, it would have been an own goal. But it could have been because that's essentially how it trickled into the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Caicedo takes a shot, goalkeeper jumps to what I think is try to catch the ball, and it had some pace on it, and I think she thought it was going to be a much easier stop than it actually was, and
right.
Yeah, it bounces off of her fingertips and slows the pace of the ball, and then bounces right inside the net. You hate to see it because they had just they gave up the penalty 9 minutes prior, and now 2-0 very quickly. But regardless of, look, it's a bummer of a goal. But South Korea was not winning this game. They were not getting. Credit to Colombia. I've never seen a Colombian team play like this. Now after seeing, you know, we know the story about the pre-World Cup friendly, the closed-door friendly that Colombia had with... It got too sturdy, got too aggressive. The match had to be abandoned after 22 minutes. And now after watching Colombia play, I'm like, I see where the...
Oh, you think it's because Colombia was flexing on Ireland?
No,
they're playing all this fancy back and forth.
I don't know. You know. There's been the way the narrative of that friendly was a little bit like, you know, certain media was like using, you know, these aggressive Latinas, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Like they were kind of doing that. But after watching them play and how they just absolutely bossed South Korea, I think it was simply a, yo, you are not, you need to get in the gym, bro. Like, you are not, you can't keep up with us. We are too physically just overpowering. And South Korea just, they couldn't win barely any 50-50 balls. Aerial duels, shielding the ball. The striker, Ramirez, Mayra Ramirez. So far, I think one of my favorite players of the tournament, just imposing. No, the defenders could not even try to get around her, try to get the ball, whatever. She had a fantastic game.
I didn't hear about this, that this is how it was framed, you know, the fiery Latinas. Because, you know, the Irish have always been known as a docile group of people.
Very friendly folk. We all know this.
Yeah, no, never the image of a bare-knuckle boxer we all have in our head at all.
Right. Yeah. So,
right? What is it? What is the Notre Dame reading Irish? Is there? What is the team?
Yes, the Notre Dame. Yeah. Adjust my glasses.
Right. The librarian Irish. What is wrong with all of you?
So,
not to say it wasn't Colombia's fault either.
Right.
Just blame on one of these.
It's just, you know, definitely the narrative I was seeing was a little bit like, not victimized kind of a thing, but definitely like, we were just out here to play soccer, you know?
Right. These peaceful white women were being, the evil Spanish catalyst.
Yeah, angelic.
Yeah. Goddamn parabens out here.
It was so wild. So, it's looking like Colombia, if they can continue this, obviously they are in the group with Germany. And Morocco, they're getting out of this group.
Unless Morocco has a shocking win over Germany, or I should say over South Korea. Actually, not even then. Colombia has to be Germany by a lot, and Morocco has to be South Korea by a lot.
Right. Yeah.
That's the only way they don't get out of the group.
It doesn't look like.
And Colombia has to lose.
Right. Yeah. So
it's by a lot, because they play Germany next.
It's pretty remarkable. Yeah, they very, very impressive. I did not expect this from Colombia at all.
Is Colombia now your dark horse?
Dark horse to what?
What am I writing a story about the fight? No, your dark horse in this competition, because you didn't necessarily think Colombia would be this good so far. And they're not one of the top four names that you keep hearing of nations. So are they now your out of nowhere, maybe can go pretty far in this group
I mean, out of every country I've seen play so far, this has been the biggest surprise. It just feels.
If Jamaica could have gotten that win against France, I'd say they were.
Okay.
This feels like a bit of a surprise, a high level of talent, and pieces where you're like, oh, okay, this can, you can contribute more than just beating up on a minnow nation.
Right. Yeah. So, it feels like they, you know, could they win if they get out of the group, could they win a knockout game depending on who they play?
Oof.
I don't think it's crazy. That's how impressive I thought they were. They were really, really good. All right, let's.
And they made South Korea look bad, but the Philippines, bro.
That's what we gotta.
Bro, we don't have one of those. Do we have anything? I mean, that's the wrong button. There's nothing like woo. You know,
The Philippines.
There we go. Philippines
defeats New Zealand, and they are in. They're currently in third place in the group. But a huge victory for the Philippines. This was another.
So the first tiebreaker is goal differential, and they're at -1, as you can see here. But they beat New Zealand. So isn't the next one after goal differential head to head?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know.
I believe it's head to head.
It might be.
There's a chance that even if they're equal on points with New Zealand, that they can hop over New Zealand without, even if they're even on goal differential as well, because they beat New Zealand. Right. This is massive, massive. First of all, 18 Americans on this team. 18 Americans on the Philippine team. Bruh, you're welcome. Philippines.
No, I mean, look, there's I want to give a shout out to Megan Reyes, who you content creator, works in soccer, women's soccer. But
we've known for a while. Wonderful.
Known for a long time. But she did a there's a documentary podcast series called Between Two Worlds about the Filipino national team. And I it's only four episodes that each about 25 minutes. Very, very good. I highly recommend people check it out. We also got to get Megan on the show.
We got to get her on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But is she never in New York? Come to the stew, Meg.
Let's go. But if you, yeah, so I'm like learning more about the Filipino national team. And yes, there are a lot of Americans. And I think a big part of it is that in the Philippines, they just really don't respect soccer. Like, it's just not a not the main sport. Basketball is really like
it's a very truly Americanized country.
Yeah,
in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it basically you know, the history of it, of like, you know, when Spain colonized the Philippines, soccer was played. And then when the United States colonized the Philippines, it was just like, nah, we're doing basketball, baseball. That's
we off that. We got a different football. But shouts. But look, there's obviously a massive Philippine population in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Some of these players, Serena Bolden, the goal scorer who plays for Western Sydney Wanderers, her sister plays for OL Reign. In fact, she was signed to OL Reign to be a replacement player for some of the players that did go to the World Cup. You know, went to college in the U.S., grew up in the U.S., out there playing her ass off. She's the one who scored the winning penalty to get to qualify the Philippines for their first ever World Cup. They're a debutante, scores the first ever goal. This has to be absolutely what a miraculous turnaround for the Philippines. What an incredible moment for the Philippines as a country. This has to be an amazing feeling.
And what a goal to score. It wasn't just like,
bro, bodied it on the header. She says, why I got that with the head,
but
bro.
Then you also got to feel bad for New Zealand, right? You saw they won their
won their first game. What do you feel bad about?
No, they're the
you beat the co-host. This is about the Philippines, baby. You got to spin the story, Christian.
But I felt, you know, they're obviously a host nation. You know, it's a big deal for New Zealand to play well. You know, their women's national team doesn't really get a ton of support. That's kind of I wanted both of them to win. That's kind of how I felt watching this game.
Eat for effort, everybody.
But a huge moment for the Philippines, because they did get their quote unquote score a goal in their first match, but it was taken away due to offside. It was also offside by like 10 feet, but it it is what it is. A bunch of really good players on the team, and I thought this was a great performance to score the goal and then also hold on and not allow New Zealand to score. The forward, Hannah Wilkinson, I believe is her name. She, Hannah, right? Is that her name? Yeah, Hannah Wilkinson. She is.
She scored the goal. She scored the last goal for New Zealand, and then scored the first goal of this competition.
Right.
She scored the last time they scored in the World Cup.
So Hannah is also, she's probably like, she seems like she might be like almost 6 feet. She's like a very tall striker compared to some of the defenders. And there were a lot of the Filipino defenders were just really risking it all, throwing their lives and bodies on the line to stop this this tall New Zealand woman from getting in the box and scoring. So really, really impressive stuff and huge win. I know there's a lot of Filipino friends I have that are just so excited and proud. So a great moment. Happy for the Filipino homies. And then the last thing before we talk to Doug is about Switzerland and Norway. And really, this was a 0-0 draw. Not too exciting, but the...
This is... Now, if you're... do you have the group to pull up? Because this is squeaky bum time for Norway. One of the nations that we talked about glowingly.
Mm-hmm.
They're now in last place with only 1 point. And as you were probably about to mention, Ada Hatteberg...
Yeah.
...gets pulled out moments before the game, gets pulled out because of a groin injury. I mean, this has literally the last sprint during the warm-up.
Yeah, she was they were about to do the national anthems. It was just ready to go. And
from what I heard, she didn't want to go. Obviously, I mean, who would? You know, you'd want to pull through, but, you know, now you have Ada Hatterberg, who, again, won the Ballon d'Or not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the best players in the competition, not able to go. That's got to be tough. Now you make this last game a must win, and you probably still need help, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this is a huge cause for concern for Norway that I think most people thought were going to top this group. And yeah, they have some of the best players in the world. And, you know, losing the first game to New Zealand, they're just in a bad spot. Very disappointing tournament. And then now getting this news, who knows if she'll be available for the next game. Maybe they.
And it's against the Philippines.
Yeah.
So you have to win. The Philippines are at 3 points in third place. Norway with 1 point in fourth. You have to beat the Philippines. If you draw, you're automatically out. You're completely out. There's no way. Yeah, I mean, it's against these two. Maybe you could. No. Unless Switzerland loses. But no, because goal differential. You won't match. No, nah, yeah, bro. You're screwed. Yeah, no, you got to win. You got to beat the Philippines.
And
you got to hope New Zealand loses.
Not great.
This could be it. This could be curtains for Norway.
Yeah. Not great. So I have a feeling that I don't think Norway is gonna beat the Philippines. I think the Philippines are gonna win. And it's gonna be either between New Zealand and Philippines for that second place, possibly.
If you're gonna watch this game, I don't know when it is. It's probably like 2:15 in the morning or something like that. I mean, you know how these games have been. But if you are going to watch this game, when does it happen? When is the Norway-Philippines game? Oh, it happens on Sunday. It's a 3 a.m. game on Sunday if you're on the East Coast, probably midnight if you're in California. If you're going to watch this game, the player I would say to watch is Jacqueline Sawicki. She plays essentially the number 10 role, but obviously you have to defend a lot more when you're in the Philippines. But she's the one who, if she's on her A game, she's helping stop the attack, but she's helping helping stop the opponent's attack, but she helps spring the attack. Just a really dynamic player, Jacqueline Sawicki over on, I believe she's Canadian, and I think her mother's Filipina, which is why she's on the team.
But yeah, you got a claim.
Nah, bro. You know? Filipino right now, bro. That's you getting free Jollibee for life, bro.
That's the one of the things from Megan Reyes' podcast of like the football federation in the Philippines made a conscious effort of like, yo, we're going through Facebook profiles. You got a cousin,
bro?
You any way connected to Filipinos?
If you know what Bonsit is, you you on the team, dog.
You one of us.
Yo, if you know what Bonsal is, yo, get into camp, my G. Let's figure this out, okay?
So it's great to see, and you love to that again because there's obviously more nations involved in the.
Are
women's
you related
World Cup.
To a Jabberwocky? Get your ass! I heard them dudes are all Filipino. That's what I said.
Yo, bro.
If your cousin danced with Shaq, get in here. Let's at least try you out. Is all I'm saying.
That is fair. All right. Let's get to our conversation with Doug McIntyre. But as always, a reminder to everybody. I know you're watching the Women's World Cup, but also the Leagues Cup is happening right now. And the best way to do that is with an ice cold Coors Light. Okay.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of tension, right? Leagues Cup. Liga MX, you got players sleeping in airports. Got Lionel Messi coming in and making a damn movie of every game, scoring penalty kicks in the last damn second.
Dude,
you got David Beckham and LeBron James crying, hugging Kim Kardashian.
Bro, you're gonna. Soon we're gonna get Lionel Messi stuck at Dulles Airport. Okay,
right? On the phone with someone saying, "I've got a specific set of skills, and it's to chill because I drink cold, crisp." Coors Light.
Oh my God. I got a specific set of chill. Let's go.
Let's go.
So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an ice cold Coors Light, the official beer of Leagues Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. That crowd goes wild.
Crowd goes crazy. All right. So here it is. We're chatting with Doug McIntyre. He is currently in New Zealand, in Auckland, and we can preview the U.S. Women's National Team against the Netherlands. So here's my combo with Doug. Absolutely thrilled to be joined by our next guest. This man is currently in New Zealand following the U.S. Women's National Team covering the Women's World Cup. He is a man who I feel like we've been following each other on Twitter for years, but I think you may have met Alexis, I think maybe one time. We've never crossed paths, so I'm excited to actually look at you face to face and talk to you over my webcam. We are joined by Doug McIntyre of Fox Sports. Doug, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Christian. Thanks for having me, man. Big fan of you guys, too, so real pleasure to be here with you today.
No, absolutely honored. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're currently in New Zealand. Where in New Zealand are you right now?
Yeah, so I'm in Auckland. It's the biggest city in New Zealand. It's where the U.S. had its first game against Vietnam. Their third game here against Portugal will be here, and I'll be going down to Wellington for the big one, the rematch of the 2019 World Cup final against the Netherlands. Game a lot of people are calling a must-win for the U.S. team, so... I'll be in New Zealand all through the group stage. Great country. It's winter here. I'm talking to you from the future. We're 16 hours ahead. So we're recording this Monday afternoon your time. It's Tuesday morning here. So, yeah, if I get the days wrong, forgive me. I'm still trying to get my head around it. About a week.
Yeah, this is like a soccer episode of Quantum Leap. If you remember that show. Okay, good. All right. So let's start with the game against Vietnam, especially you being there and witnessing that game in person. For us, you know, our analysis of it, as far as two stand-up comedians can offer, is essentially 3-0. Almost felt like a loss. It felt like for the lack of a better term, we wanted blood. We wanted another Thailand. We wanted to destroy, to show our complete power and influence over the World Cup. And we didn't really get that. What did the team and the players and coaching staff feel about that game?
Yeah, I think what sums it up, Christian, is Alex Morgan in the mix zone after when she came through. She was mad. She was mad, and like as much as they were happy that they won the game, they knew they left goals on the table. They know that goal difference might come into determining who wins the group. Obviously, the Netherlands, like I mentioned in the intro, are in the group, so it's really going to come down to those two teams that which one finishes first. So yeah, I mean, as happy as they were that they got a shutout when Vietnam did not even attempt a shot on goal. They basically parked the bus from the beginning. They had no interest in doing anything but damage control. And for the most part, they did that. But, you know, the U.S., I think they had 28 shots. and some of them were off target. Some of them, they knew they could have taken their chances. And I was at that game in France, the World Cup opener in 2019 when they beat Thailand 13-0. And it was similar in some ways, except that in that match, the U.S. scored every time they got a chance. It's like they didn't miss anything. So, I think they know they left some goals on the table. I wouldn't go as far as to say they feel like it was a loss. They got the 3 points. You know, it's not how, it's how many when you get to a World Cup. But they know they could have been better in that game. So there was a little bit of disappointment from them too. Like I said, you could tell Alex Morgan, who missed the penalty, she spoke to us after. And you could tell she was a little bit pissed. So I think that's probably a good sign going into this next match, which is going to determine the group. It's almost like a final within the group stage.
Right. Netherlands better watch out. It's rare to get a U.S. women's national team with a chip on their shoulder, right? they have reasons to let out some frustration against the Netherlands. So this upcoming game on Wednesday, it's going to be, I know it's at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I know Fox is, they have a 2-hour, pregame, so it's going to be pretty intense. Is there anything... I know you also been following the Netherlands team as well. Is there any, I mean, is this, are they talking about this rematch of the 2019 World Cup final? Like, what is their mindset? How do you think they're preparing for this game?
The Netherlands, I haven't spoken to their players. We saw them play against Portugal in their opener. Only a 1-0 win for them, but pretty straightforward win. Portugal didn't manage a shot until, I think, the 82nd minute. But I think the U.S. team is expecting to get the best version of the Dutch in that game. There's, you know, it's a different team to some degree, completely different coaching staff. But, you know, they remember that final. Everyone in their country remembers that final. We know that the Netherlands on the men's side has been to a bunch of World Cup finals and they haven't won it. So it's 4 in total between the men and the women. And yeah, they want, you know, I'm sure they want revenge. They want to finish first in the group. And the U.S. team knows that. They know that they're going to get the best game from the Dutch. And they're not going to be able to squander those chances. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to your point, like, you know, the first game's out of the way, Vietnam, an opponent that the U.S. team had never played before. They knew they were going to win that game. I think everyone knew they were going to win that game, including the Vietnamese. And it was just a matter of how many goals they scored. But this is the one that they've had circled on the calendar since the draw came out. Both teams, really. And, you know, this is a real game. Like this, the Dutch are, you know, they're going to play defensively, but they're also going to play soccer. They're going to come out. They're going to try to attack. So yeah. I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. And I think both teams are going to be at their best. You could tell that the U.S. players, like, this is the one they're looking forward to. You know, it's not that often that they get to test themselves against the best teams in the world in meaningful competition. And this is certainly that. So, you know, we're gonna find out a lot about both teams on Wednesday night.
What did you think of the lineup against Vietnam? We Alexis and I spoke about this a little bit, and it felt like, you know, obviously Rose Lavelle coming off the bench, and that is obvious. You know, she's not maybe fully 90 minutes fit, but she looked pretty sharp when she got there. You know, there were I remember seeing tweets in the lead up to the first match where the U.S. soccer was posting pictures of Rose Lavelle training, and the comments were essentially like, hey, can you please post a video of Rose kicking a ball holding today's newspaper? Which was such a great because everybody wanted to make sure she's okay. But given that the lineup seemed a little unorthodox, is the lineup against Vietnam, how many of those players you think will also start against Netherlands? Because to me, it felt like a little bit of a weaker lineup.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Squad rotation is definitely important in a tournament. In 2019, so the U.S., they had that 13-0. They put out their best lineup in the first game. Second game was against Chile, and the coach at the time, Jill Ellis, I think she started like 10 different players, or at least 9. Alyssa Nair in goal, and I think there might have been one other player that played that started both games. Because of the makeup of this group, you know, a little bit different because the most important game, again, is the second game. So you want to put out your best lineup in the first match, but you also have to have an eye on that second game. And I think that's what current U.S. coach Vladko Andonovski did. To answer your question, I think we're going to see the exact same lineup with that one exception. Rose Lavelle, who scored in that final in 2019, the back-breaking second goal that essentially sealed the World Cup win, the second World Cup consecutive World Cup win for the U.S. So I think, again, when Rose Lavelle went down with a knee injury in April, the idea all along was to make sure she was ready to come back to start in that Netherlands game. She's a unique player in the U.S. Player pool. We know how creative she is. And I think having her on the field from the start will go a long way to unlocking the defenses. You know, she's so creative. She's a playmaker. She can score. She can set up goals. So I fully expect her to start. Spoke to her after the game. She said she told Vlaco she's capable of whatever assignment he wants from her. She can start. She can come off the bench. I said, can you go 60? Can you go 90? She said, I can do whatever. So the plan, I think, is for Roosevelt to start in that match. And that's the best U.S. lineup. So she's a difference maker. We saw that just in her brief cameo. I think she played 27 minutes in the opener. She hit the crossbar. You know, she's breaking lines with her dribbling. She's such a fun player to watch. She's doing Cruyff turns. I'm sure she'll do that against the Netherlands. So yeah, really special player. And you know, I think she's the key in a lot of ways for the U.S. in this game, but that's the only change I'm really expecting here.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I don't want to necessarily make this exact comparison, but when Sergio Busquets was announced that he was going to go to Inter Miami, my first thought was like, oh man, Busquets, I mean, he's over the hill. What's he going to really do? You know, he's not going to go box to box or whatever. And then when I saw him play in the game against Cruz Azul, I'm like, oh my God, this is the exact thing Inter Miami needed to unlock some of these defenses. And that's how I feel about Rose Lavelle, where it's just, you know, I went from being, you know, one of the first big interviews that we ever had on our show was when Rose Lavelle came to our studio in like 2008, in right in early 2019, before the World Cup roster was announced. And I always have this thing where whenever I meet an actual player, all of a sudden I have like this emotional investment in their career and their well-being. And Rose Lavelle is like, this is my daughter who is playing at the World Cup. I hope she's okay. So she went from, you know, I was so terrified and worried about her injury, and then she's doing Cruyff turns against the Vietnamese. I'm like, okay, I guess Rose is okay. Why were they being so tight-lipped about like her injury? Maybe it seemed like a tactic almost against the other nations.
Yeah, totally. I mean, she came out, she's like, I'm fine, like there's nothing, no problems at all, like there's nothing wrong with me. I think they did bubble wrap, honestly. I think that was, but because she is so important, I mean, she's a one-off, she's a great personality, as you know, her teammates love her. You know, she's funny, she's, you know, she keeps the team loose. And she's such a great player. Again, she's, you know, there's no one else like her. There's no one else that can do what she can do. So I really think she's the key to this. And yeah, I expect her to be starting going forward from here.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't see a route that we win the World Cup without Rose Lavelle being there and obviously playing at the top of her level. As far as your time in New Zealand, have you been in New Zealand before? What's it like? Because my perception is, you know, Lord of the Rings and just a lot of grass. But what's it like being there and going through? What's the World Cup experience like in New Zealand?
Yeah, I've never been here before. Never been to Oceania. Never been to Australia. So new experience for me. It's amazing. Auckland's a big city, so I'm right downtown. It's about, you know, 1.5 million people. Beautiful city. Great people. Great food. Like I said, it's winter here. So it's a little cold, a little drizzly, which is fine because we know how hot it is back home. So a little bit [S2] Right. [S1] Of a welcome reprieve from that. Great soccer weather. So like we've seen, you know, I don't know about you, but I love watching games in the rain where tackles are flying in, you know, players are muddy and, you know, you can run all day in that kind of weather. So I think from an entertainment point of view, it's great. I was at New Zealand's opening match of the World Cup. They played Norway without a Hegerberg back in the fold. Almost a sold out stadium, a 50,000 capacity stadium at Eden Park, which is the home of the All Blacks. Of course, the magnificent rugby team, you know, standard bearer in that sport, like very much the women's national team of rugby. So the locals were super excited. The highest crowd, the largest crowd that New Zealand's women's national team, the Football Ferns, had ever drawn was 12,000 fans. And that came earlier this year in January in a friendly against the U.S. team. So, you know, they quadrupled that total, basically, and those fans were into it. And it was the 22nd game all time that New Zealand's national teams, men's or women's, had ever played in a World Cup. They'd never won a game going in. First 21, they didn't win. So they come out, they win that game. They scored the first goal, and, like, the roof, like, went off the place. It meant so much to the country to get that win. It was a nail-biter. They missed the penalty at the end, so the last few minutes were tight. But a 1-0 victory for them. And to be there and witness history and see what it means to the people here. I mean, it's very similar to the U.S. in that, you know, in Australia and New Zealand, like, soccer is not the number one sport here. There's rugby, there's cricket, Australian rules football. A couple different types of Australian rules football, from what I understand. Definitely not an expert on that. But you can see, like, history being made before you where, you know, a lot like the World Cup way back in 1994 in the U.S., where this is a seminal moment for the sport here in both of these countries. And I haven't been to Australia yet, so I can't speak to what's going on there, but I think, you know, similar things. So it's fun to see the locals embracing soccer, getting behind their national team. And New Zealand's captain, Ali Riley, who's actually born in Los Angeles. She's a Kiwi, but she's American as well. You know, she said, like, that's great. We won the first game, but we really have to build on that and you know, make sure we win the next one too, so that momentum keeps going. So, really fun to see, and I'm fascinated to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I mean that photo of Allie Riley hugging her mom is like I think gonna be. I mean that should be on a billboard. That should be a mural because it's such an iconic photo. So no, amazing to see. Well, Doug, this has been awesome, man. Actually, I have just one last question. So the one thing I wanted any comparisons between the 2019 World Cup and the 2023 World Cup, because the one thing I've been seeing some I forgot who, there was some journalist or somebody that was talking about that there's the pageantries, like, or not even the commodities, there's like more merch, there's more things are more available. I've been hearing that FIFA has been more, I don't know, just responsible with making sure that fans have things that are accessible to them as far as fanfare and you know, scars and things like that. Have you sort of seen from a commerce perspective that it feels like maybe a men's World Cup?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've noticed a few more merch stands around the stadium. Some of my colleagues have pointed that out. So I was in Paris for you know, the Women's World Cup. I was all around France, but the U.S. played twice in Paris, if my memory serves me correctly. They had a game in the group stage against Chile, and then that amazing quarterfinal against the hosts at Parc des Princes was sold out. And, you know, that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen, you know, at any World Cup, men's or women's. But, you know, Paris is a big city. There's a lot going on. You know, France is an interesting country where it's not like, you know, if you compare it to England, right? Like the game in England is religion. And it's not that way in France, right? They have a lot of other cool things that they like to do. Like to play it cool as a culture anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So cheese is their religion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, if you're walking around Paris, other than like the, you know, thousands of Americans walking around in U.S. national team jerseys, like you wouldn't have known necessarily that a World Cup was going on there. And like, I can't speak to how that would have been in 1998 when, you know, France hosted the Men's World Cup, because I wasn't there. I was too young for that one. But, you know, this feels like a World Cup. Like, it feels like there's a World Cup going on in Auckland now. Like, there's a buzz in the air. You know, you can tell around the city that, and again, in a country where soccer is not the number one sport by, you know, it's not. It feels like a World Cup. It feels like there's a big event going on. Like people are talking about it. People are excited. So I think that's for me so far the biggest difference. And I'm sure that's what I'll find when I go to Australia. And I'm sure that's only going to increase as the tournament goes on, if the home team continues to win, like I said before. So that's a noticeable difference between this World Cup and the one 4 years ago.
All right, cool. Do they in New Zealand, do they call it soccer? I think they do, right?
I believe they do, but then the women's national team is the football Ferns. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I know Australia, so it used to be like the Australian Soccer Federation, and they actually changed it to football. So
okay,
you know, call it soccer, call it football. I don't know where you stand on that side of the argument, Christian.
I think it's call it whatever the hell you want. I'm just here to enjoy the game.
It's almost like Major League.
Yeah, I'm too old to have the debate anymore. All right, I'm too busy watching reruns of Quantum Leap, Doug. That's what I'm doing. Doug McIntyre. Doug McIntyre, thank you so much for joining me. Obviously, people can find you on Twitter, an amazing journalist. All your articles are on Fox Sports, but am I missing anything? Please let people know where to find your work and where to catch up on everything that you're doing while you're at the World Cup.
Yeah, foxsports.com. I'm at Twitter. I'm by Doug McIntyre. Spoke to Carly Lloyd yesterday. I want to plug that story because you know, legendary U.S. player. She got into the weeds about, you know, what the U.S. can do in this next game to make sure that they're, you know, taking their scoring chances. Who better to ask than Carly Lloyd? 134 international goals, the fourth leading scorer in soccer history, international soccer history, men's or women's. So I would encourage people to check that out. I'd appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for having me, Christian. This is awesome.
Absolutely honored. Doug, enjoy the rest of your time at the World Cup. And hopefully at the end of it, you are covering, you know, Roosevelt holding the World Cup trophy. So we're all hoping over there. Thank you, Doug. Cheers, man.
Thank you, man.
Shout out to Doug McIntyre for joining me on the show. Awesome conversation. Great dude. And, you know, we got boots on the ground in New Zealand.
That's,
you
know, right, bro.
Getting all
we
the
get
coverage.
Exclusives.
All right. You know, I had to work with, you know, the brutal internet connection from all the way from New Zealand. It is quite remarkable. The technology is crazy, bro. I cannot believe we can just talk to anybody anywhere.
Anywhere. You know, well, and you know, parts of Australia have a time zone that's like half an hour advanced or behind.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? It'll be like 8 o'clock here. It'll be like 9:30 p.m. over there.
I don't care.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's wild. I mean, it's just
stupid. It's what it is, bro.
It just feels like, yo, is your battery died on your watch? Like, it just,
I know, right? It's like, oh, that starts in an hour and a half. No, it don't. It starts in 20 minutes, dog. What you talking about?
Where are we?
Yeah.
Anyway, but shout out to Doug. Thank you again, everybody, for joining us out here on DraftKings Network. We appreciate it. Make sure if you are watching, maybe you want to listen to the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel to get the show on demand. And again, the Women's World Cup Daily, we are here every single day. Day, okay?
It's daily. It's in the name.
Okay, okay. The branding is absolutely flawless, all right?
Yes.
So make sure you tune in every day and go back on some of the older episodes that you may have missed. We have great guests on those as well. Funny takes or hilarious stuff. You know how it is. And we got the soundboard, all right? All right. We'll be back tomorrow. I mean, the crowd loves it.
He's going to take this away from me so fast.
We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode, so make sure you're back with us. All right, everybody. Take care. Peace.